Okay, we're in Parak Gimel in Hilchos Brachos, and the Rambam's now going through various halachas that apply to bread, one bread changes its form, and still staying hamotzi on it. So in halacha ches, the Rambam says hapas shepises osa pitim. So let's say you take bread and you break it up into little pieces, little tiny pieces. So let's say you put it into your soup. Okay, so you take bread and you break it up into small pieces and you throw it into your soup. So let's say each chunk that you broke it up into is a kazayas. Oh, shenikra shehen pas. That's the trickier one, but that it still appears like they're bread. Okay, so if you ever put bread into your soup, you'll see that if it's small pieces, it can kind of dissolve or become very stringy. And you won't see that it's pas anymore. Right? Its surah is still the same. So in those situations, you would still make hamotzi. So now we're dealing with like a degradation of the bread. Again, here, it's become bread. Now I take it and I put it into my soup. So it's only if either each piece is a kazayas or it's recognizable as bread. In that situation, I would still make hamotzi. Bimeimbahen kazayas. Right, but if there isn't, if it's less than a kazayas, osh avrat tzuras apas abishol, or the tzuras apas is gone through cooking it, v'varach leah b'tchila borei b'mizanos. So what the Rambam's getting at here is that this is the first step, and that's why he's going to continue in the idea of degradation of pas. If you physically degrade the pas by putting it into, let's say, cooking it in soup, so that would remove the chi of making amotzi. Okay, so that's the case of bread into soup. Now in Lacha Tes, the Rambam says, "Isa shenefes bekarka kamo shehar vayim shochne hamibaros ofim." All right. So what the Rambam is referring to is that there was a way of making a bread-like substance, right? Where Arabs would dig out a hole in the ground and then put like a lot of coals in it, and then take the coals out, put the dough into it, and then throw coals on top of it. So it's kind of like a burnt, crispy kind of bread-type substance, okay? The easier thing to think about is a cracker. That's the case, actually, Rav Haigon has, again, here you've gone through the process of harvesting and winnowing, grinding, etc., and then you have dough. And then when you bake it, you make it into crackers, okay? So what's the problem there? Hol v'ein alei tzuras pas. Okay, so since it doesn't have the tzuras apas, okay, it doesn't look like bread, and one of the key things that makes bread look like bread is rising. The fact that this doesn't look like a loaf of bread, so because you destroy or you don't allow the tzura of the pas to emerge in making it, that's why you make a mizonos. However, vim kava mizono alea mivarach hamotzi. But if you make your meal out of it, then you make hamotzi. So this is another, I mentioned, I think yesterday, one of the bigger challenges in Hilchos Brachos is that there's a certain subjective element to it. And you see this emerging when it comes to these cases where the bread is in this questionable form. So again, I baked the dough, but it just came out the way I baked it in a manner, right, where it came out like a cracker. In that situation, so what the Rambam's saying is that it all depends. Really, insofar as what it is, you make a mizonos on it. But since it does have, you know, it went through the process that bread would normally go through, so you can, in a sense, replace that defect of it lacking tzuras apas by saying, this is my meal, okay? This is my meal. The case where this comes out in today's world is the case by the pizza, right? Which, again, I think is a misconception. But at the end of the day, by pizza, even if a person has one slice of pizza, if their intention when they have that one slice of pizza is, this is my lunch, there's no question they should wash on it. No question at all. So if I say that this is going to be my meal, I'm koveya mazon, right? This is my suda. Then you should make a motzi. Not only that, tavlin v'afa. Okay, and that's the more practical case. So any time that I take dough and I knead into it other ingredients, whether it be honey or oil or milk, and then the achronim debate how much the Rambam's talking about, but the point is, let's make it simple. Enough of it's in there that it's nicker. So let's say when it comes to honey, I put enough honey in there that I would taste the honey in the bread, right? That's called v'hi nikras pas abakisnan. That's what the Rambam calls pas abakisnan. Again, is a machlokes what exactly Pasav HaKisan is, but the Rambam holds it's where I mix in other ingredients into the dough. Okay, Af HaPisha Hu Pas, note his Lashon. Even though this is bread, okay, it is bread. Again, I grains, grinded it up, flour, dough, right, baked, right? It's actually, when you look at it, I mean, think about what most Ashkenazim eat as challah, okay? When most Ashkenazim eat as challah on Shabbos, okay, that looks like bread. That's Pas Bav HaKisnen, because it's loaded with sugar and other things that are, that, in a sense, take away from its chashivas. So the Rambam holds, and Sfardim hold this way also, that you make a mizonos on what Ashkenazim use for challah on Shabbos. Water challah is the one type of challah that Sfardim would definitely make hamotzi on. However, the Rambam does say, "Vim kava suda soleam varachamotzi." But if you're kaveir suda on it, then you make hamotzi. So you would agree that on Friday night, right, if you go ahead and use your sweet challah, right, you would make a motzi on it if you're kaveir suda. Okay, but it's certainly something that we should have in mind. Now you have a lacha yud, which is orez. Okay, now orez is rice. Rice has a very interesting place in the pantheon of grains, because it's definitely not one of the five grains. Okay, although there is one shita in the Gemara who does maintain that it's as much of a grain as any other grain. But let's take the general position of Chachamim. Rice is definitely not considered a grain, but it acts like a grain. It has a lot of features. It has a lot of grain-like features. And especially back then, it was very common to make rice bread, which is clear from some Gemaras. So rice does have has grain-like properties. So it fits into a very interesting a netherworld. Because as the Rambam says in Lacha Yud, Orez shebishlu o she'aseh menu pas, okay, cooked rice or rice bread, bitzchila mevarach alav borei mine mizonos. Okay, so you make a mizonos on it. So even though rice, right, technically speaking, right, rice bread, right, can never be, or cooked rice can never be one of the five grains. Okay, and it can never lead to real bread. Nonetheless, because it's more of a zon, it's more nutritive than, and it has more grain-like features than other foods. Okay. That's why you make a mizonos on it. But nonetheless, ulavasov bar nefashos, right? But you only make a bar nefashos as a bracha horna. So it's a very fascinating idea that it's like orez is stuck in this bizarre netherworld where on the one hand, because it has certain grain-like properties, you make a mizonos on, let's say, when you make it into bread, right? But on the other hand, you'd only make a bar nefashos, right? He says, v'vad shalo yemur avim davar acher el orez levado, but it can only be pure rice bread, okay? Aval pas dochen or pas shalsharam mine kitnios. So whether it be millet bread or any other type of bread made from other kitnios, right? Betchila mevarach shahakol v'sof bar nefashos. You make a shahakol and bar nefashos. So they afford a certain chashivas to orez itself, okay? There is another way to learn. The Rambam clearly learns that it was unique to orez, okay? Well, that's clear. And many, many Rishonim line up that way. But there is a minority that maintains that orez was an example, meaning that we could develop new grains even today, that these halachas would still apply. But psak halacha is, by orez, we treat orez a little bit differently than other other foods, because it does have some grain-like properties. Okay, halacha yidalef. Kol shemevarchan alav betchila hamotzi. Okay, so if you make hamotzi before you eat your bread, mevarchan achar besof berkas mazon kesitra abra brachas. So as we know, hamotzi, bracha rishona, benchings bracha achrona. The Kol Shemevarchan Alav Betchila Borei Mizonos. If you make a mizonos before you eat something, right? Mevarchan Besof La'acharav Bracha Achas Bein Shalosh Chutz Min Orez. You make Ala Mechia. Okay. Now again, that's because just like the Bracha Mizonos, in a sense, is a subsection of Hamotzi, so too Ala Mechia, in a sense, is like a mini benching. Okay. It's like a benching. It reflects the Chashivas of Dagon, but since it never became Pas, right? Or let's say it was degraded Pas. You don't quite say the full benching. So Ala Mechia, and in some sense, has like features of a defective, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but a defective benching. Halach Yud Beis, B'med V'Amurim, She'achol Mikazayas Ulamala. So this is only if I eat a Kazayas or more. Ava Achol Pachos Mikazayas, but if I eat less than a Kazayas of bread, Bein Min HaPas Bein B'Shar Ochlim, whether it's Pas or any other food, or Vashosa Pachos Mervias, Bay Minayayim, Bay Mishar Mashkin, or if I drink less than a Revias of any liquid, Mivarach Betchila Bracha Riyul Osamin. So you always make the appropriate bracha Rishona that applies to whatever I'm eating. However, Lubasov Ein Mivarachla, but you don't make a bracha Achorna. So if you have less than a Kazayas of something, all right, you do not make a bracha Achorna. That's the guiding rule. Oh, excuse me, less than a Kazayas when it comes to food, less than a Revias when it comes to drinking. So it's important to know. Food, I think, is a little bit easier, but when it comes to drinking, make sure you pick a position to hold about what a Revias is and make sure you drink that amount. Now, again, in general, most people, what do you call it, have, in your normal sizes of eating, usually have a Kazayas and Revias, but it's just important to keep in mind. Halachi Gimel, so we don't have to read the whole thing here, but the Rambam says, V'zuhi bracha achas mein shalosh. So the Rambam does give us the text for Ala Mechia, Baruch HaShem HaKev Halam, Ala Mechia HaKala, etc., etc. And then the end, he says, "Huva shabasos v'yamim tovim omer bebrachazu becholam ein kedushas yom k'derek shemaskir berachas mazon." So that's another raya. You see, in even alamichya, since alamichya is a junior form of benching, if you say an alamichya on Shabbos yontov, you have to include something about the day in there, just like you would by regular benching. Okay, halach perek dalet. So now the Rambam is going to first deal with cases of what are called shinui makom. Which is like changing places from where you eat, what position you're supposed to be in when you bench, etc. Okay, so in Halacha Aleph, he says, Kolam Mavarach Berchas Amazam, O Bracha Achas Mein Shalosh. So if you bench or say Alamichya, okay, Tzarech Levarach Osav Makam Shachal. So you must say it in the place that you ate. Okay, so that's rule number one. Wherever I started eating, okay, that's where my benching / Alamichya must take place. Okay, now, achal kushuhu mahalek, but let's say I'm eating while walking, okay? Let's say, I'm taking a walk and I'm eating my cake, okay? Yoshev b'makom shepasak vivarach. So then you would sit in the place that you stopped, right? And you bench, okay? Which is very important because the Rambam is going to get into the idea that you should sit when you bench. Achal kushu omed, yoshev b'makom vivarach. Now, let's say the whole time, right, you're eating when you're standing, right? You sit in your makom and you bench. Shachach levarach berachas mazon nizkar kodem shizak al mazon shemavarach makom shenizkar. That's another case where, let's say, a guy forgot to bench and he remembers before his food digested, which you remember from Perek, I don't remember if it's Gimbez or Gimel, right? Then what do? Right? You go back to the place, right, where you ate, okay? B'makom shenizkar. B'imayav mezir chozem kom varach. I'm sorry, excuse me. You mavarach in the makom where you remember. So let's say I forgot to bench and I remember before my food digests, you make the bracha where you remember that you, forgot. But if you purposely, right, let's say you purposely did not bench, okay, and then you said benching in the wrong makom, you go back to where you originally ate, and then you bench. Then b'erech ha-makom shenizkar yatzei chavasa. Right. V'chein b'erech kishu omein, o kishu mahalech, yatzei chavasa. Now, again, listen to his language. If you bench standing up or walking, you're still fulfill your chiyuv, okay? But that's not the ideal way to do it. So a person should always realize you should be sitting when you bench. But ideally, right, what should you do? You should always bench or say alamichya when you're sitting in the place that you ate. So that's the guiding rule of thumb, okay? The rule of thumb is that always, wherever you start eating, bench there, and make sure you're sitting when you bench. You really should not stand when you bench. I have seen some people do that. It's a problem. You really, ideally, should be sitting when you bench. Halacha beis. Mishani stopik lo yim b'yarech ha-motzi yolo b'yarech ha-motzi. Okay, now let's say you're unsure whether you made a motzi or not. You're besafik. Eino chozem avarech neishenem in atara. So as we know, since the bracha rishona, right, are all midurabanan, if it's a safik whether you said ha-motzi or not, you don't go back and say ha-motzi again. However, shachach levarech ha-motzi, right, but let's say you forgot to say ha-motzi, Im nizkar ad shelo gamar su'daso. Now let's say I forgot to say amotzi, but I'm still eating my meal, right? I haven't finished my meal yet. What can I do? Chozer mevarach, right? You can still go back and make bracha rishona. Then nizkar la'achar shegamar, eino chozer mevarach. But if you remember, obviously, now this is before you bench, but if I finished my meal, okay, I'm done, I can't go back now and make amotzi. But you still have an opportunity to make amotzi even if you are in the middle of your meal. This happens, I think, I can only speak from my life, but this happens often by chinuch. Like if you're teaching a kid to make hamotzi before they eat their bread. So what can sometimes happen is that they'll forget to make hamotzi, but they already started eating. And then they think they can't make a bracha anymore. But you teach your kid, like, no, listen, you can still make a bracha. You can still make a motzi on let's say, your bread. You can still do that. Halacha gimel. Okay, now, haya ocho l'bayzeh upasak sudasa v'alach l'bayz acher. Okay, so now I'm eating in house A, okay? And I stop eating, and I go to a different house, okay? O, shahaya ocho v'karo chaver l'daber imo, v'yatzol l'pesach beso v'chazer. Or let's say I'm eating in my house, and my friend says to me, is at my front door, and says, hey, come talk to me for a second, and I go to the front of my house, right? Hoel v'shina makomo, right? Sarach l'mvarach l'mafreya al masha achol, v'chozum v'varach b'tchila ha-motzi v'achach yigmor sudaso. So that's considered shinu yamakom, okay? Meaning that there's a certain kvias you have in the makom you're in, and if you go to let's make the simpler case, if I go to a different house, so what have I now done? I've now okered, I've now undermined my initial kvias. Okay, so what do I do? So I have to be mevarach l'mafreya. I have to bench on what I ate. Okay, and then I have to make a new bracha. Okay, a new hamotzi. Right, what do you call it when it comes to this meal? So shinui makom ultimately means that if a person goes ahead and undermines the makom he was in to go somewhere else, it demands a new benching. Okay, but what's the way out of this problem? Halacha dalet. Let's say, for example, a group of people eating together, and they go out to, this is pulled from the Gemara, but they go out to be misameach, the chasan akala, im hi nichu sham zakin achola, right? Ostensibly because these two people would have a more difficult time going out. Meaning, if you left someone behind, if you left someone at your meal, chosun lim koma v'gomrin sudasan, v'enan srichan levarach shnia. Okay. Okay. So again, what do we see here? We see that the way to avoid shinui makom is very simple. Leave someone behind. As long as there's someone still in your house, so in a sense, you haven't, again, since it's a group that ate together, okay, so that kvias has not been broken. So as long as I leave someone still there eating, so what I can say is that it's true that I left, right? But the meal hasn't been okered, so to speak. The meal still has a reality to it because someone's still there and someone's still eating. It's only when the entire group leaves, the problem emerges of being oker the su'udah, and then you run into this problem of having to make a new bracha, okay? Same with halacha is a similar idea. Right? And the same thing applies whether it's to drinking or eating fruit, meaning it's not limited to su'udah. Shekol meshana mekomo, anytime you have shinui makom, hare pasak achilasa. It ends your eating, right? So shinui makom, even if I'm eating an apple, okay? If I eat an apple here, right, and I go to someone else's house while eating the apple, you have a problem. Right? So there's a break. Thank God. But if I change from, let's say, one side of my room to another, that's not considered shinui makom, which, again, this comes from the Gemara. What do you call it? So it's important to keep in mind that within a house, if I go from corner to corner, that's not considered a problem, okay? Avavim achal b'mizrachal shel te'ina, ubal lechal b'marava, tzarech lachzor olivarech. So if I ate on the, on the eastern side, let's say, of a te'ina orchard, and I went to the west side, then I would have to go back and be mevarach. Now the Ravid, I never mentioned the Ravid when I do this stuff, but the Ravid adds a very, very important point, which is a method that people can use to get around this problem. One easy method of avoiding shinui makom is, by suda, is when you have a group. But there's another way around the problem, even if you're an individual, which is your das. So a person says to himself, before he makes a bracha on an apple, I plan on having this apple here and at my friend's house, then you would not have to make a new bracha, okay? In other words, I can have das of shinui makom. That you can do. That you're allowed to do. Even though the Rambam doesn't mention openly, it's pretty clear, halacha lemaisa, that you're allowed to use your das to escape the problem of shinui makom. So if a person says, I'm going to start my dinner here, but finish it at my friend's house, that's what you have in mind when you wash, right, and make hamotzi, that'd be okay. Right, so stam das by shinui makom is oker your kvias, but if a person does have the ability to refine his das and include the other makom, then it won't be considered shinui makom. Okay, halacha vav. Birech al pas, okay, is another famous halacha. Pater sapar perish oklum behen, ha pas, vimine tafshol perish liyotz behen. When I make hamotzi, I don't have to make a bracha on the other foods I have in my meal. We'll get to dessert later on. But for now, I don't have to make a bracha on any other food I eat. So that's the power of hamotzi. Aval im birech al paperes, lo pater sapas. But of course, if I make a bracha on an apple, right, that doesn't exempt me from making hamotzi on the bread. If I make hamotzi on bread, I don't have to make brachas on the foods I have in the meal. Birech al maisa kadera, so if I make a mizonos, okay, pater satafshil, it would pater, let's say, a shahakol tafshil, let's say, like, let's say meat. Birech al tafshil, lo pater maisa kadera. But again, it doesn't work the reverse way. If I made a bracha on, let's say, a soup, right, it would not exempt me from my mizonos. So that's the unique chashivas that the bracha Rishona has of hamotzi and mizonos, that it functions in a way where it removes the obligation to make brachas on other foods. Okay. Halacha zayin, gamar b'libo, melecho, yeah. All right, so let's do one more here. So gamar b'libo, melecho, melishtos. So let's say I finished eating. Okay, I said to myself, I'm done, whether it's eating or drinking. V'achrach nimlach, lecho, melishtos. But then I changed my mind, and I say, you know what, I want to continue eating. That's the key word here, continue in quotes, okay? So now all along we've been dealing with the physical change in makom, now we're dealing with das, okay? So by das, if a person, let's say, finishes his apple and says, I'm done with apples, okay? And then he says, you know what? I think I'll have another apple. Because he said he's done with his apple, that's it. It's an interruption. And now, even though he didn't have a shinui makom, it creates a break, and therefore he has to go back and make a new bracha. Vim lo gomar b'libo ala daito lachzor lechov lishtos afilu pasa kol yom kulo in a tzarach lebarach shinis. But as long as he doesn't have that das, as long as he doesn't say I'm done, but he says, listen, I have in mind I'll always continue having apples. He would never have to make another bracha. Okay, meaning that let's put aside the length of time he has to have. The point is, one could theoretically make one bracha rishona on, let's say, an apple, right, or fruit, and he would never have to make another bracha rishona on fruit the entire day if he had in mind to keep eating fruits, okay? Again, let's put aside the time lag that has to take place, between, you can't just stop for like 6 hours. That has to be nicker, so to speak. But putting that to the side, theoretically, that could, it could definitely work that way. All right, let's stop here.